The new refined 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV. Available now at your nearest Kia dealer. And Toolmart, the complete tool centre, serving WA for over 40 years. This is Sports Day.
Hello everyone, happy Monday, great to be with you. Jimmy Williams in the chair for Peter Vlahos. It is Monday the 8th of April 2024 and there is so much to talk about. So tonight I need you to get involved. Dockers fans, this is a safe space. I'd love to hear from you. Are you still caught up on the weekend? Are you still flat? Are you angry? Do you think there shouldn't have been a free kick paid to Matthew Cottrell? Get involved. 13 12 55 is the open line number for Scarborough Toyota Osborne Park. You can text anytime, 0487 736 736. Tonight on the show, we are going to go to South Australia and speak with Nine News reporter and presenter Paddy Sweeney, who is covering the Dockers who have stayed over in South Australia after Gather Round. They play there again this weekend. The Eagles have a home game against Richmond on Sunday. But if you haven't heard it yet, let's just recap what happened on the weekend. It was dramatic. It was frustrating for Fremantle supporters. And this is how it played out.
Jackson goes up, hooks it down. Hewitt first access, kick the full forward. Cottrell!
It's touched. Touch. Is it touched?
What's going on?
No, they're paying it.
It's paid the mark.
The Fremantle boys are going troppo saying it's touched.
25 out, directly in front for the go-ahead goal. Matthew Cottrell slots it through.
Well, Carlton can't get the 666 wrong here.
Hang on, what's going on?
What is going on?
Carlton forward line.
Don't tell me there's been another free kick here after the kick. Oh, my goodness gracious me.
Is that dissension?
The ball is going back. It's in the hands of Matthew Kennedy from where Matt Cottrell kicked. Oh, what is going on here? This is a massive, massive moment. A game that has been fought tooth and nail right throughout the afternoon. An umpire's made a call here. Kennedy from 30 out directly in front. And that is a telling blow.
It was a very controversial finish in South Australia and Fremantle people are a little bit upset about it. And today their captain, Alex Pearce, had a press conference. He had a little bit to say and I'm looking forward to catching up with Paddy Sweeney shortly to discuss what exactly was said. The AFL came out and conceded that football was indeed touched off of the arm of James Aish. However, they also said, the AFL that is, that there's no place for dissent in the game and it was the correct call to pay the dissent free kick against Jordan Clark. And some of the commentary on social media today, and I don't really want to get too much into it. But what I do want to say is I think we all need to just take a step back and calm down and remember that Jordan Clark is a person just like you, just like me. Did he make a blue and would he like his time again? Maybe, but some of the character assassination of him has been pretty poor, I reckon. Fremantle didn't win the game. And someone raised this in the run home on the text line, 0487 736 736, if you'd like to join in tonight. That game of footy, it sort of reminded me of Sirengate a little bit. There's some people out there who think Fremantle are hard done by. If you go back 19 years, I reckon it was about 19 years ago when Fremantle and St Kilda played that infamous game down in Tasmania. It's important to remember that Fremantle eventually got the points. And it's also equally important to remember that they're not going to get the points in this game. It's over. It's happened. And as Hayes and Marto spoke about on the run home, the most important thing we as a football industry can do now is work out how we can better rectify to prevent these mistakes happening. On the weekend, it was an integral moment of the game. Fremantle were pushing and they were trying to hold on. And at the wrong time, they conceded them. And it ended up being Carlton who won the game of footy. I want your opinion tonight. The new refined 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. Opinions that inspire. I want your opinion. Tell me how we can stop these errors from happening. There's plenty of umpires out there. They do their best. And unfortunately, at times, mistakes are made. Can't wait to check in with this man, Nine News presenter and reporter, Paddy Sweeney in South Australia, I believe. Good evening to you, Paddy.
Yeah, good evening, Jimmy, and your listeners out there as well. And I tell you what, it's 2 days on from this contentious call and obviously the dramatic finish where the Dockers lost the game against Carlton, but it still is dividing the football world and providing plenty of topical choice and opinions out there as well, as I know you are having on the show right now.
And the Fremantle captain, Paddy, Alex Pearce, he spoke to the media today and one comment that he said really stood out, and it's kind of brought this whole thing back to the centre of attention again.
It has. I was at the press conference with Alex Pearce this afternoon and I just simply said to Alex, Alex, do you know exactly what Jordan Clark said to the umpire, which obviously resulted in the dissent being played, free kick to Carlton? And he sort of said, no, I don't. I had a conversation with the umpire and he doesn't even know exactly what Jordan Clark said. That revelation took me aback because I sort of then followed up with another question saying to Alex, well, Alex, are you a little bit, you know, miffed at the reason why this was actually paid then if the umpire revealed to you he didn't even know the exact words that Jordan Clark revealed? So now we've got a situation where the captain of the Fremantle Dockers, very revered, a man who has been in the game for a long time, you would imagine someone in his position, his standing in the game, this is not something that he would go out there lightly and say. So the Fremantle Dockers are genuinely concerned with the interpretation around the way the umpire dissent is currently being interpreted. And also, I dare say, the way it was officiated in Saturday afternoon's game, because they are of absolute clarity that the umpire, as Alex Pearce said, revealed to them that even he didn't know what actually Jordan Clark said to have that free kick paid against him in the dying seconds.
Now, I'm lucky enough to have worked with you for a long time, Paddy, so I know you love your footy. What do we actually do from here? What's the actual answer? Fremantle aren't going to win any kind of appeal. They're not going to win this game of football. The 4 points belong to Carlton and it's over. And the discussion we had on the run home with Paul Hazelby and Damian Martin was Paul Hazelby's idea that we get rid of the score review system and that we sort of maybe bring in three challenges per team. Is there, before we get back to the whole drama around it, is there anything you'd like to see the AFL do in order to prevent these mistakes happening? Because they happen throughout the whole four quarters. It's just at this point in the game, it was Fremantle were hanging on and, yeah, they didn't want to concede a goal right at that moment, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can understand the lateness of the game and where it happened in the game and how it unfolded. That is the reason which has left such a bitter taste in so many footy fans, not just Fremantle, but footy fans' mouth, because a lot of people left Adelaide Oval. A lot of footy fans watching that game think that that game was decided by an umpire who may not have made the right decision at the time. In terms of changes, what I want to see, I'm not so sure. I'm certainly not convinced on this whole logic or initiative on the captain's call, because at the moment, Jimmy, you know, your listeners will probably agree with this statement that the goal review system at the moment, where we go to the review at the minute, that is adding minutes, if not tens of minutes, to our game every single game, because the goal umpires, for better use of a term, they're scared of actually making a decision themselves and then actually having it overruled. So we're seeing reviews at the moment happen, which simply shouldn't happen. The ball is clearly over the line or it's clearly hit the post. We're reviewing that. If you then add in more reviews, we're only going to, you know, probably start a game of football on a Thursday night. We'll finish it on Tuesday morning, you know. So I'm not too sure where we end this. The other one with that is, as you said earlier, these decisions could happen, you know, at the 7 minute mark of the first quarter, which could cost a team a goal and they lose by a point, as opposed to just in the last 2 or 3 minutes of a game. So when do you, how many challenges do you have? When do they get to use them? We see in cricket, I think it's a little bit different with the DRS. We know after every single delivery, there's a roughly, if you're talking a paceman bowling or a fast bowler, there's 30 seconds between the next delivery so they can check things. In the AFL, we don't have that luxury. These are contests. It's repeat. We only get a stoppage and a real break in play when the ball goes out of bounds or we get a score. So I just think we're going to lose that natural flow of the game. look, unfortunate, this has really come back to bite the Dockers on the bottom, but I just don't know that I can see this changing, and it's certainly not anything that the AFL are really looking at significantly at the minute in actually implementing something like a captain's call. We are of the understanding that ball chip technology could come in next year, and that's going to be used potentially around the goalposts and goal review systems, but I'm not so sure about reviews in-game, so to speak.
Yeah, I think I was sitting in the producer's area listening to the run home, and someone texted in saying, you know, this ball chip technology is going to come in. But in this instance, if and when it does happen, or when and if it does happen, would we have actually even seen a review saying, no, the ball has actually, you know, hit James Aish on the shoulder or the elbow or wherever it might be, and prevent, you know, the mark being paid? You and I could wax.
We wouldn't because it's not a score review system.
Exactly.
I mean, the other one is that the vision that we actually saw, which was conclusive, I mean, beyond reasonable doubt, to potentially overturn the mark, was revealed on Sunday morning. So even that shows there's a lull in time lapse of actually turning around vision or replays in getting a decision. And I tell you what, you've got to be a very brave person to overrule a decision if you don't have significant amount of evidence, especially in that section of the game, how it transpired. I feel for the Fremantle Dockers, for footy fans out there as a whole, mistakes are going to happen. We will never, ever, ever be able to rid them from our game. I just think at this point in time, unfortunately, the Fremantle Dockers have been on the wrong end of this one. And at least the AFL has come out and admitted they were wrong. It is interesting, though, the AFL never used the term sorry. They just say they got it wrong and they move on. But, it's cold comfort to the Fremantle Dockers. I can give you the hot tip.
You are in South Australia this evening because Fremantle are staying put. They play Port Adelaide on Saturday evening at 5:30. You can hear the call here on AFL Nation. What's the vibe? I know Alex Pearce, the captain, had his press conference, but what's the vibe you got today from the club and the playing group, if you were able to catch any coming in and out of a recovery session or a training session?
Yeah, pretty light session today for the Dockers, more so just recovery. A couple of sore boys. Michael Frederick won't be there Saturday night after injuring his hamstring. Neil Erasmus is my early prediction to potentially come into the Dockers lineup for him. I think he's got the ability to play some high half forward minutes and also add in some midfield strength there for the Dockers. Sean Darcy, though, is the big one. The Dockers, it sort of is firming that the club champion, the 25-year-old who is yet to play a game this year, it seems as though he is firming as the days go by that he'll be running back out onto the ground on Saturday night, which will be a massive boost for the Dockers. It'll be the first time in 9 months he'll be teaming up with Luke Jackson again. What that does to their ruck and forward mix, we'll have to wait and see. But it looks as though Sean Darcy might be coming into that game. And I think what that will do is, you know, you saw us feel a little bit of energy around the Dockers today. And yes, it's disappointing they lost. They are still 3-1. But I tell you, I reckon going into this extended trip on the road here in Adelaide, if you were to say you would split the games between Carlton and Port Adelaide and you were to head back to Perth with a 4-1 record, they would have taken it. However, this is a massive task on Saturday night against Port Adelaide. I know they had a really good game against Carlton on the weekend, but this one's a different equation when you've got 47,000 feral Port Adelaide fans screaming at you and you're facing a midfield with the likes of Connor Rosie, Jason Horn, Francis and Zach Butters, who are up and firing. That one's going to be a tough challenge. But if they can get over the line on Saturday night, they really do set their season up.
It's going to be a huge game of footy. Speaking with Paddy Sweeney, Channel 9 News Perth presenter and reporter in South Australia. I'm not sure how long you've been there for, Paddy. The vibe of Gather Round, a genuine success, it seems.
Yeah, it certainly has been a success. Jimmy, I flew in this morning for the post gathering of Gather Round, which is obviously the Dockers staying here for the week in the lead up to Saturday's game. But look, you can still see, you know, there's a lot of buzz still around town and everywhere you go, literally cafe today to grab a coffee and also grab the sandwich. And so many people were talking about it. Even at the car rental at the airport, they were talking about how busy they were over the weekend and footy teams. I tell you what, the Western Bulldogs, they were too happy with the way that they got treated on Saturday night, because apparently the car rental at Hertz Car Rental at the Adelaide Airport, they weren't too happy with the way the car was returned, Jimmy. but I tell you what, it's going to be interesting to see. I think Adelaide and Gather Round is the obvious choice for where it is. They've done a wonderful job in the first 2 years. They're adding the Barossa next year as well, and I think it's only going to go from strength to strength. So I think, if anything, Adelaide is the place for Gather Round, and I think it's up to the other states to think a little bit outside the box if they're to get sort of a similar a similar event on the calendar to that of Gather Round.
Just quickly before I do let you go, Paddy, a couple of quick ones about the West Coast Eagles. I'm sure you've probably seen the news in the last half an hour. The Rising Star nomination is not this week, Harley Reid, and that might upset some Eagles fans listening to Sports Day tonight, but it was Sam Darcy at the Western Bulldogs. So they might not be happy, or the car rental joint might not be happy with them, but the Bulldogs will be stoked that Sam Darcy got the Rising Star nom.
It's pardon the pun, but it's not good reading for the Eagles fans there, is it? I mean, I think that's incredibly unlucky when you have 18 touches, when you kick your first goal in footy and the way that he kicked it, 7 broken tackles, which is the Eagles' second most in the game behind only Dustin Martin and Luke Davies-Uniacke, and the way he literally dragged the Eagles with them early to actually lead that game at halftime against Sydney, it was all basically on the back of Harley Reid in his fourth game. I think he's incredibly unlucky not to be the round 4 Rising Star nominee.
They have a big game in Perth this week. Ryan Marrick fronted up to train today with a broken rib, so they're probably hopeful more than anything that Heat will play. And they had a couple of troops play Waffle on the weekend. Dom Sheed, 15 disposals. Just having a quick look at their team sheet. Someone mentioned me Liam Ryan played, but did he? I don't think he did. No, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
Your gut feel a few. I know it's a long way out, Paddy. Your gut feel. I'm happy to say this. I actually genuinely believe West Coast can win that game on the weekend. Do you believe that they can beat Richmond here on Sunday?
They can if they continue to show the intent, the fight, and the pressure that they brought, especially in the first half against Sydney. And also when you look at Richmond, who will probably be a little bit flat. They lost that game yesterday against St Kilda after a dominant first quarter. And also the fact that they're without Tom Lynch, Noah Bolter, and also I think Dion Prestia still won't be available with his hamstring issue. So them crossing the Nullarbor, I mean, this is one that West Coast and everyone internally at Lathlane must think, hey, guys, we've got a genuine chance to have a win, bank 4 points, which has been incredibly rare in the last 2.5 years, and sort of get some positivity going about their season.
Paddy Sweeney, really appreciate your time as always, mate. We'll see you tonight on Nine News from 6 o'clock.
Thanks, Jimmy. Appreciate it.
Paddy Sweeney, live from South Australia. There he has, of course, travelled to cover Fremantle being there. They staying put, the Dockers. They play again at Adelaide Oval on Saturday night against Port Adelaide. You can hear the call here on AFL Nation. Jimmy Williams filling in for Peter Vlahos on Sports Day. We do it all for Toolmart, the complete tool centre, serving WA for over 45 years. And Nutrien Ag Solutions, going further for Australian farmers. Pete will be back on deck tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to having him back here at Optus Stadium. It's been a massive 48 hours. It really has been. And I feel for Fremantle people, and I feel for their fans, and no one likes to lose. No one likes to lose. But unfortunately, in this case, they did. I feel for Jordan Clark. But you know what? The result isn't going to change. The Dockers had their chances, and on the weekend they lost. And even though the AFL have conceded that, you know, that football touched the arm of James Aish, well, we're not going back in time and we're not changing the result. A couple of texts here. I'd love for you to get involved tonight. 0487 736 736 is the number. A late one from Carlos for the run home. Take it or leave it. Pies versus Blues at the MCG. Last quarter, 30 seconds to go. No descent rule, play on. Nope, the AFL wouldn't let that happen, I don't reckon, Carlos. That would be absolutely mayhem. Text here from Alex. Jimmy, you may recall umpire Justin Schmidt marking the football during an AFL Dockers game. Cheers, Big Al. I remember an umpire marking a football at Subiaco Oval, I reckon. It was one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. It's one of those quirky little things that pops up year to year in the football calendar. It's a great video. If you haven't seen it, feel free to do that when you have a spare couple of minutes. It's hilarious if you haven't. I've only ever seen an umpire change their mind once. And I was watching a game of footy that my brothers were playing in, actually. And a player on the opposition team handballed the ball about 20 metres, really big, solid, long handball. And the umpire blew his whistle and paid a mark. And my brother said, it can't be a mark because it was a handball. And the umpire said, yeah, you're right, and blew the whistle again, crossed his arms, and balled it up. I reckon that's the only time I've ever seen an umpire change their mind. Credit to them. They do a phenomenal job. It's a hard one. And somebody has to do it. And without them, we wouldn't have a game. So, yeah, sometimes we just need to remember that they are human as well. Another text here. Hi, Jimmy. Freo tried to save the game instead of winning the game. They lost the 4 points. They have Port next, and that won't be an easy game. They cannot have any more reviews. There's too many now with the goal umpires not being able to make a decision. Lisa of Ellenbrook. Thank you, Lisa. The score review system is frustrating. We've spoken about it all day here on SENWA, I reckon. Scotty and Goss in the morning. Mark Duffield, of course, 8 till 10, Monday to Wednesday. The boys, Paul Hazelby and Damian Martin on the run home mentioned it. It's a mess. It's a mess. It almost feels as if now that we have all of this technology that the goal umpires aren't backing themselves in to make the right call, even though some of them really do look like they are blatantly obvious. In case you missed it, the good oil for Cobram Estate, premium Australian extra virgin olive oil. The round 4 rising star plays for the Western Bulldogs. His name is Sam Darcy. So well done to Sam. And West Coast Eagles fans listening tonight, don't be too concerned. Harley Reid was brilliant, and he will get a rising star nominee in time. In the meantime, we have a phone call on the Scarborough Toyota Osborne Park open line, 13 12 55. Let's go to Tom in Bayswater. Good evening, Tom.
G'day, Jimmy. Enjoying the show, mate. Mate, another question is that I just mentioned to your producer there that we've got more stats in football recorded now than we ever had.
Yep.
And I'm wondering why Champion Data or an equivalent organisation doesn't release stats on umpires in terms of, how far have they run in a game, what their level of fatigue is, when are they making most decisions? Is it early or late in the quarter when they're trying to control the game? Mm. Who makes decisions, who's paying more in the backs as opposed to holding on, and, who's making clangers? Why don't spectators get this data?
Why do you think they don't get it?
Well, I think they're a protected species, of course. I mean, you just heard Paddy Sweeney say that the AFL does not apologise for anything.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if we saw stats on umpire performance that gave some indication as to, how they were actually travelling. I'd be very interested to see. I mean, we talk about the umpires putting the rule book or putting the whistle away for grand finals. I wonder how often they're putting the whistle away for, first versus last on the ladder, or 10th versus 9th, or Anzac Day, or, Dreamtime games. I mean, derbies. I mean, why aren't we seeing data that is comparable so we can get an idea of genuine umpire performance, looking at statistics, rather than just all taking an armchair expert saying you got it wrong, you got it right.
Can I ask you who you barrack for, Tom?
I mean, I barrack for Freo, and look, I'm obviously got the feeling we were rocked, but at the end of the day, I mean, the rule was applied correctly with the dissent, I suppose. If the umpire thought there was dissent, he played the rule. They missed the touch ball, the touched ball by Ace, but I just don't understand why we don't see data on umpires. Why are they that protected? Who knows? The umpire that made the decision, I don't know his name and don't want to call him out anyway, but maybe he'd run 15 Ks and he was exhausted. Maybe they should be rotating umpires sharing a game, and he's made a decision because mentally he was fatigued. Who knows? We don't know because we don't have the data.
Tom, really appreciate your call tonight here on Sports Day. It's not a bad shout. I understand what you're saying, Tom. And I know one of the big things that we're trying to see, and we should be trying to keep it happening, is at the end of the day, we need people to umpire the game. And I reckon it's probably fair to say that without the data coming out and seeing who's making what decisions and how many free kicks are pushing the backs and high tackles compared to other ones, they get picked on enough, I reckon. Like, they do a pretty good job. They've got thick skin. And a lot of these umpires start when they're young, and unless for whatever reason they don't do it as adults, they give it away. But we need them. We need them at all levels of football. And I reckon if you watch enough footy, I guess you could I don't know, maybe there's an opportunity for you there, Tom, to create your own little stats book. But I reckon internally the AFL are making sure their umpires are doing the best job they possibly can with the amount of resource and time that they do have. And we do have that debate often about whether or not they should be full-timers. But yeah, food for thought. Really appreciate the call. Thank you, Tom, from Bayswater on the Scarborough Toyota Osborne Park open line, 13 12 55. A text here on the text line, 0487 736 736, if you'd like to get involved tonight. Peter Carey was the umpire that marked the ball. Leon from Hocking. Thank you, Leon. I didn't think that name looked right. Yeah, Peter Carey. Thank you very much for getting involved tonight, Leon. We have so much to get through. I'd love you to get involved tonight. Do you have an idea as to how we can prevent these decisions costing teams games? I know Fremantle fans will feel that way tonight, but at the end of the day, there's 100 of these, 150 plus moments in a game that decide it. It was just on the weekend, it was the one off James Asher's shoulder that cost them a goal to Matt Cottrell, and then a descent free kick, which the AFL have ticked off on, and then another goal to Matt Kennedy, which pretty much put the game to bed. Yeah. It's going to be fascinating to see how Fremantle as a footy club and as a team will respond this week against one of the informed teams of the league in Port Adelaide. 5:30 Saturday. I can't wait. I reckon it's going to be brilliant. In case you missed it, the rising star is Sam Darcy, son of Luke. Harley Reid will have to wait another week at least to get that nod. And it might be against Richmond on Sunday. Eagles fans, 0487 736 736. I reckon they can win on Sunday. I reckon the Eagles can win that game. That's my belief. Coming up a little later, for those who people who love WWE, their biggest event has been run and won. It was WrestleMania. The WWE sent this place into a frenzy only 8 weeks ago. It was brilliant. Rhea Ripley, Triple H was here. It was phenomenal. Anyway, I'm going to have a little chat with someone about that. Nims Azor, he's an absolute WrestleMania wrestling fanatic, and he knows all the ins and outs. And we also have to get through our top five at five, which we're going to do right after this. Jimmy Williams filling in for Peter Vlahos, 27 minutes past five on this Monday, April the 8th, 2024. Gee, the time goes quick. We'll be back right after this.
The new, refined, seven-seat Kia Sorento. Kia's large SUV. Available now at your nearest Kia dealer. And Toolmart, the complete tool centre, serving WA for over 40 years. This is Sports Day.
Jimmy Williams filling in for Peter Vlahos on Sports Day. We do it all for Toolmart, the complete tool centre, serving WA for over 45 years. And for Nutrient Ag Solutions, going further for Australian farmers. It is great to have your company. I want to play this. Now, we've spoken all day about this, this Jordan Clark descent free kick. And Fox Footy have managed to hunt down the umpire audio. So, courtesy of Fox Footy and AFL 360, let's take a listen.
All clear.
Yes.
Free kick in the middle. Free kick here, Carlton.
No, we don't have it. That's okay. That's okay.
Free kick here, Carlton.
We might try and bring that to you before the end of the show. It's okay.
Free kick there.
I can't wait to hear it.
Anyway,
we have a message here, 0487 736 736. Jimmy, no, if two umpires are according to Dean and I get to make 8 to 12 errors a game, maybe five or six umpires is the answer, or seven. Most of the players knew it was touched, simply not good enough. Simon of Claremont, I reckon maybe a very frustrated Fremantle fan tonight. Do we have that audio of the... Have we got it? Let's give it another whirl.
All clear.
In the middle. Free kick here, Carlton. Free kick here, Carlton. Descent.
Free free kick there.
Yeah, no, no, grab,
it's a free
grab,
kick to Carlton.
Grab Kennedy.
He's
closest. No, grab Kennedy.
Kennedy, it's a free Kennedy. Kick.
Against you.
Hold the ball. Hold the ball to the chime. Hold the ball to the chime.
It's a free kick for Descent.
Hold the ball.
It's free kick, Carlton.
This is the one adjustment I would make to the laws, and I felt this way for 20 years.
So that was the umpires, and you can hear Jared Waitley, who you can hear right here on SEN, discussing his way through that on Fox Footy. That was the audio from the descent free kick. I think what most people want to hear is the audio a little bit before that to know whether or not the footy had been called touched. Anyway, we're going to speak about it for probably the next half a day, and it'll be Tuesday tomorrow, of course, and it's not going to matter, really. Feel free to vent your frustration tonight, 0487 736 736. But at the end of the day, Carlton got the 4 points. The game's over. And we simply must find a way to prevent these. The only thing we can do now, and Paul Hazelby, Doc is great, said this earlier on his show, The Run Home, the only thing we can do is try to prevent them, to try and prevent the errors in the game. And unfortunately, I'm not sure we're ever going to do that. But hey, we do have to try. We have a duty. Let's get stuck into the top five at five. There's a Novus Auto Glass near you. 13, 22, 34. We'll start. I couldn't split these. A couple of basketball clips with number five.
Number five.
Talking to a coach in the timeout, I was like, hey, what's the play? What's the play? What are we doing? And he said, just get it, go. And you know, PJ got the rebound. And for a split second, I was like, do I let PJ get it? I was like, no, just go get it. So I just went and grabbed it and then tried to get the ball to Luca. And obviously, I knew they were going to try and double. So it was just about not getting the offensive foul at first and then just setting up my feet. And, you know, Luca's obviously great knowing that two guys are, you know, going to double him and, you know, trusting his teammates. So.
Let's go. Oh, short. Rebound. Get it, Washington. Cut.
That was Dante Exum forcing overtime for the Dallas Mavericks as they went on to beat the Houston Rockets 147 to 136. Unfortunately, the weekend didn't go the way she would have liked it to. That's Caitlin Clark, the Iowa star. She's an absolute icon. She's going to be an icon of female basketball. And this is what the opposing coach had to say about her college career after the game.
And I want to personally thank Caitlin Clark for lifting up our sport. She carried a heavy load for our sport. And it just is not going to stop here on the collegiate tour. But when she is the number one pick in the WNBA draft, she's gonna lift that league up as well. So Caitlin Clark, if you're out there, you are one of the GOATs of our games. We appreciate you.
If you don't know the name Caitlin Clark, you soon will. She'll probably be the number one pick in the WNBA draft. And she broke the college career record, scoring record, 3,951 points. Absolutely ridiculous.
Number four.
Rhea! Ripley able to get her feet underneath her and just knock Lynch into next week with a right hand.
That would have been nasty. And now Rhea onto the buckle with a riptide. And now in the middle of the ring, Rhea Ripley, riptide.
The WrestleMania event in Philadelphia, Cody Rhodes ending Roman Reigns' 1,316-day reign as the Universal Champion. I know WWE fans in this building and around the world love WrestleMania. It had The Rock. It had The Undertaker. It had John Cena. We're going to chat about that a little bit later on with a man that loves his WWE in Nims Azor joining us very soon.
Number three.
I take full responsibility of what happened on Friday night. The words I used is very unacceptable in the game of football. We need to stamp it out and, I'm very remorseful. I knew straight away that it's not acceptable and I take full responsibility of that. And, I addressed it at the time moved on.
Jeremy Finlayson apologising for his homophobic slur during the game between Port Adelaide and Essendon. Really disappointing. No doubt he will live and learn from it.
Number two.
Kick to air from Edwards into the goal square. Here is Harley Reid, turns around the corner, snaps West Coast's first goal. And it's his first goal in AFL footy for Harley Reid. Bit of composure to Grundy, back to Heaney, forward Hamble, Errol Goulden. Through the middle of Mount Barker, kicks inside 50. What an outstanding kick to McLean in the fingertips. Eyeball over the top to Amati, and he will run into an open goal.
He was super Harley Reid, but he didn't get the rising star nod. That went to Western Bulldogs star, emerging star, Sam Darcy. No doubt Harley Reid will get one by the end of the year. Gee, he was a little bit unlucky.
Number one.
Jackson goes up, hooks it down. Hewitt first access, kick the full forward. Cottrell!
It's touched. Is it touched?
What's going on?
They're paying it.
Paid the mark.
The Fremantle boys are going troppo saying it's touched.
25 out directly in front for the go-ahead goal. Matthew Cottrell slots it through.
Well called by our man on SEN, Jared Whateley, the best in the business. It was a huge goal and what followed it was another goal to Matthew Kennedy as the Dockers ended up losing to Carlton over in Adelaide. That was our top five sports stories over the last 24, 48 hours. Don't let your old windscreen end up as landfill. Call Novus Auto Glass 13 22 34. Coming up right after this, we're going to recap everything that happened at WrestleMania.
The new refined seven-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV. Available now at your nearest Kia dealer. And Toolmart, the complete tool centre, serving WA for over 40 years. This is Sports Day.
Minutes to 6 o'clock. Jimmy Williams filling in for Pete Vlahos tonight. It's been a pleasure to have your company on SENWA. Well, wrestling was front and centre here at Optus Stadium only about 8 weeks ago, I reckon, when we had the Elimination Chamber in Perth. But their biggest event on the calendar is WrestleMania, and the producer and anchor of our driver's seat show that you can hear here on SEN, he's an absolute wrestling buff. He got the chance to interview Triple H when he was here in Perth and he was geeking out. I've never seen a man that happy. I've never seen a bloke as happy as Nims Azor was when he was interviewing Triple H, one of the greats of the WWE. And I'm pleased to say I've got Nims on the line right now to recap WrestleMania. Nims, thanks for your time.
Jimmy, I'll tell you what, mate. It's been quite a high for wrestling fans for the past 24 hours. And just when we thought that we couldn't get any higher after Elimination Chamber at Optus Stadium back in February, they somehow raised the bar again for WrestleMania in Philadelphia.
1,316 days, a streak that was broken today, and that has been one of the talking points from WrestleMania 40.
Yeah, so Cody Rhodes defeated Roman Reigns, ending his 1,300-plus days, as you mentioned. And what made this even bigger was the fact that at WrestleMania 39 last year, Cody came agonizingly short. And the best way that I could describe this to anyone that doesn't watch wrestling, if you're a West Coast Eagles fan, the 2005 grand final was probably pretty heartbreaking, which made the 06 grand final even better. That's exactly what WrestleMania 40 was for anyone out there that's a wrestling fan, because they delivered all the straps. So basically what happened was, WrestleMania is now two nights because for the past decade or so, it's been a huge event. And thankfully, what they've done is split it into two, because I went to WrestleMania 33 in Florida back in 2017. And the the show goes for about 7 hours. It's a very, very long day at the office. So to split up both nights makes it pretty good. So what happened night one, which you might have seen on your social media, if anyone that doesn't watch wrestling knows a wrestling fan, you would have seen for the past 2 days, we've been pretty preoccupied. Night one was the return of The Rock teaming up with his cousin, Roman Reigns, who's the WWE champion, taking on Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins. Now, the stipulation was that if The Rock and Roman Reigns won, the main event of WrestleMania would be Bloodline Rules, which means anything goes. That's why we saw so much chaos happen in the main event of WrestleMania today.
Just having a look here, for those that don't follow it as closely as you, Nims, the fact that we got to see The Rock and The Undertaker and we saw John Cena come out and put a couple of people with the FU through the tables, it feels like this event didn't have much missing from it.
Absolutely not. In fact, maybe a lot of people, a lot of wrestling fans were slightly disappointed because Stone Cold Steve Austin would have just made it the icing on the cake. But look, we'll take what we can get. And I don't think anyone could fault the Undertaker there. But like you said, yeah, we had, and the best part too is like this Bloodline storyline has been going on for years. It has literally been like a 4-year reign by Roman Reigns. And so what happened was we saw in the match, because it's anything goes, Jimmy Uso, who is Roman Reigns' cousin, came out to interfere, but his brother Jay, his twin brother, came out and speared him off the stage. So then another one of the Bloodline's henchmen, Solo Sikoa, came out to help Roman. Couldn't get the job done because John Cena is the man that stopped him. John Cena has feuded with Solo Sikoa. In fact, that was John Cena's last match in the WWE last November.
Wow.
So there was just so many different layers upon layers. And one of John Cena's greatest WrestleMania rivals is, of course, The Rock, which is what brought him out to try and stop Cena. It was just layers upon layers. So it was just a great effort. And yeah, this was just one of those things. Wrestling is just so hot at the moment, which is why we see it at Optus Stadium, which is why we see, you know, so many people just somehow watching wrestling again.
And there are so many Australians currently doing it in the big time. How did they all go during the event?
Yeah, actually really well. So Rhea Ripley, you would have seen her at the main event at the Elimination Chamber Perth at Optus Stadium in February, successfully defend her title. She took on Becky Lynch and defended her title successfully. Becky Lynch is the one that won the Elimination Chamber match at Optus Stadium.
Right.
To have the right to face Rhea Ripley for the World Championship at WrestleMania. So Rhea has really cemented herself as one of the greats. She's gone through almost every single high-profile female WWE superstar you can think of at the moment. She's really cemented her legacy, and which is insane when you consider that this is a girl that grew up in Adelaide, South Australia, and had a dream to become a pro wrestler and just did it in front of 70,000 people on night one of WrestleMania 24 hours ago. So that was pretty cool. Also, we had Grayson Waller, who's a Sydney guy. He used to wrestle for Pro Wrestling Australia, which is a Sydney-based promotion. He's also wrestled for Melbourne City Wrestling and EPW, which is another local promotion that's based in Perth. So he's done the rounds across Australia, made it to the WWE, and he's walked out of WrestleMania as one half of the tag team champions in a six-pack ladder match. So he really did it the hard way. So to say that a lot of Aussies were flying the flag, yeah, I think it's a bit of an understatement that we're punching well above our weight when it comes to wrestlers.
Just finally, before I let you go, Nims, what's the big next event that's coming up? What's this all set up for next in the WWE?
So coming up next, we are going to be seeing the WWE heading overseas once again. Backlash is the next premium live event. That is going to be held in Paris. It's all part of this big global expansion where the WWE actually doesn't go back to the States for a big event till SummerSlam in August, which is going to be in Cleveland. After this, like I said, after WrestleMania, it's Backlash in Paris. Then they've got Money in the Bank in Canada. Wow. Then they're going to London as well. There's a pay-per-view in Berlin. So there's plenty happening on the card. And the best way to do it is to get Foxtel, find someone that's got a binge
account
or something,
yep.
And stay up to date.
Nims, really appreciate your time this evening.
Not a problem. And just a quick shout out to anyone that's a motorsport fan, keep it locked to SENWA because the driver's seat is back every single Wednesday and Sunday morning for the replay for all your motorsport needs.
We'll be listening. Thanks, Nims.
No worries, Jimmy.